Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a Friday Q&A, and I've pooled questions from across all of my social media platforms. Normally, I just take in questions from Snapchat, so if you're not following me on Snapchat, BrianK019, make sure you follow me on there. But I've been doing a lot more Instagram Live and a lot more Facebook Live in the new year, so for today's episode, I pulled questions from across all of my platforms. So first question, hey Brian, is it possible to stay lean and lose weight without training? Yes, the short answer is yes, you can. If you've got your nutrition and your supplementation completely on point and you've got all your numbers calculated and you're semi-active during the day, that you're not getting up out of bed in the morning, going sitting down at a desk for 8 hours, coming home on the couch for 4 hours and then going to bed, and you're just actively moving around during the day, you can lose weight and stay lean providing you have your nutrition absolutely on point. It just makes it way harder to do. Even something short, like, you know, 20 minutes in my online program, there's an option to do 20 minute workouts at home, which is 20 minutes, which I don't even know what percentage of your day that is, which can massively speed up your progress. If you're not following my Facebook Live workouts, which take about 20, 22 minutes, make sure you check those out as well, because it's not about the quality or the quantity. You don't need to be 2 hours in the gym. You don't need to be training for 3 hours a day. You know, 15, 20 minutes, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week is going to get you tremendous progress in terms of actual training and body composition and changing the way your body looks. But can you get into shape and lose weight without training? Yes, it's a lot harder because you've got to make sure your nutrition is on point. You've got to calculate your maintenance calories. You probably want to be eating at around your maintenance calories or probably even in a calorie deficit at that stage. So if your body needs 1,500 calories to stay the same weight, you probably want to be eating about 1,200, 1,300 every day to lose weight and stay relatively lean if you're not doing any exercise. In an ideal world, and what I do in my online program is I prefer to have most of my girls, my guys as well that are looking for fat loss, is eat around your maintenance or slightly above your maintenance and get your deficit from training. So not only do you have more energy, feel fuller during the day, have less cravings, but you're also keeping all your hormones stable so that your body's able to burn body fat and tone up and build muscle at the same time so that you're able to keep your metabolism elevated so you get another fat burning effect on the back end as opposed to just getting on the front end from your training sessions, because your metabolism is elevating because you're tearing fibers down and you're actually burning more calories while you rest. That's the advantage to training, but you can do this in a short period of time. I have people come through that program or people that join me on the Facebook Live that only do the 15, 20 minute workouts, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week, and that's enough to keep you active and make you lose weight and keep you relatively lean, assuming you have your nutrition on point. The key is to get your nutrition on point, because the best training program in the world won't work without nutrition. It's why I designed my entire online program around the two, getting the nutrition on point and building the program around it, because it's very hard to do one without the other and get amazing results. You can, and some people have, and I actually had a testimony last week of somebody that lost 20 pounds and hadn't touched the nutritional plan, but he was very overweight to start with. So just making the change of just training was able to change his body. And it's the same with somebody that is very overweight or obese to start with. All you need to do is change your nutrition and your body will change. Making small tweaks there, you don't need to add in the training. But to get the best bang for your buck, you combine the two, and that's what gives you long-term sustainable results. But finding something that fits into your lifestyle. If you've only got a 15, 20 minute time period at home to do a workout, then, you know, check out my Facebook Live. That's literally bodyweight workouts. You don't even need equipment. You know, just tune in and check that out, and that will get you into amazing shape if you do that a few times a week, assuming you nail your nutrition and have everything else on track. So hopefully that helps. Next question, Brian, is it possible to balance out hormones? I'm a female and I have really low mood. I think it's down to low estrogen. Yes, it's really important. Females are a little bit more complex than guys because of your time of the month, because of your menstruation, your all of the things that are going on a hormonal level. You're not as stable and your body's not the same homeostatic level as, say, guys who, unless they're taking exogenous supplements or drinking way too much or experimenting with drugs or doing whatever they're doing, their year, testosterone levels normally stay pretty stable until they hit a certain age and then starts to decline. Women's tends to go up and down every month. So there are a couple of things you can do. Number one is cutting out any sort of foods and ingredients that are going to slow down your body's ability to regulate its own hormones. So things like additives, emulsifiers, stabilizers, basically shitty ingredients that get added to processed food and different protein bars and different bars are not going to support your body's estrogen level because they're going to throw those estrogen testosterone levels out of balance because your body has to deal with processing the emulsifiers, you know, lecithin, stabilizers, whatever it is that's been added to the processed food or ingredient. That is all going to give your body an extra job to do when you're trying to get your hormones in balance. So the first thing is getting your nutrition on point, eating plenty of fruit, plenty of vegetables, and good meat that hasn't been filled with antibiotics and different hormones. Always source your meat and fish from, you know, make sure your fish is wild and source your meat from a butcher who doesn't put hormones and antibiotics into the meat. Because when you, if that's gone into your, you know, piece of beef or your chicken, that's going into your body. And then that's going to upset everything on the inside. Remember, it's not what you are, what you eat. You also are what your food eats, you know. So if they've been pumped full of steroids and hormones and all these things that are going to negatively affect your hormone level in your body, if you eat that, you're going to consume it and it's going to be in your body as well. So make sure that your food is on track. Loads of veg, loads of fruit, good clean meats, fish, complex carbohydrates, your porridge, your oats, your rice. Make sure they're sourced and there's no added stuff to them. Stay away from microwavable foods, processed foods, and then adding in things like your DIM, which is going to help balance out your estrogen levels. So what DIM normally does is, regardless of whether your estrogen is too high or too low, it tends to regulate it and put it into a bit more of a homeostatic level, so it tends to balance it out. And vitamin D, because sometimes your estrogen as a girl can be off from having your testosterone level out of balance. They need to be working in sync with one another. You want them in alignment so that you're not too high on one, because that means you're too low on the other. You want your body in balance in terms of, you obviously want your estrogen slightly higher, but you don't want your testosterone zero either, because that's going to have, it's kind of like when you tip a scale. You know, if you tip it all the way down on estrogen level and testosterone goes too high, you'll start to get a deeper voice. And this is what happens with girls that take exogenous, like steroidal male hormones. Or if it goes the other way and your testosterone is way too low, you'll lose your sex drive, you'll lose your energy, and all these other negative things that can come with it. So you want to keep that in balance. So maybe experiment with your DIM, you know, a 50 to 100. I think MCGs a day is the normal recommended dose. I think they mostly come in 100. I would start with 50 if you can get those caps and then increment it up. And then your vitamin D, anywhere from 4 to 6 to 8 I use, depending on your body weight, depending on where your starting point is, depending on your vitamin D levels, depending if it's summer or winter, you are going to be able to taper that up or down. And I would try adding those in to try and balance out your estrogen levels. So get your nutrition on point and then try out those supplements as well. Next question. Hey Brian, is there any audiobook that can build confidence, motivation, self-belief, headspace, etc.? It depends where the lack of confidence and motivation and self-belief is coming from normally, because the recommendation I would give would be based on where it is that you feel that you're not worthy. There are a couple of books that I think anybody that reads them can take stuff from them, because the message is pretty incredible in them. Such one that I can think of off the top of my head is Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within. I'm a big Tony Robbins fan, particularly that book. I've read Unlimited Power and I've read Master of Money, and I didn't love either of those books, but Awaken the Giant Within is incredible for making you shift your mindset and empowering yourself from the inside. Jack Canfield's The 12 Success Principles is very, very similar, and there are actually a lot of those ideas overlap in terms of building confidence from within and trying to understand why you feel unworthy and why you have low self-esteem and why you don't have self-belief, and making you see where that's coming from. The key really is to understand the cause. Cause and effect is everything. If your effect is a lack of self-belief and a lack of confidence, it's finding the cause of that. So what has happened in your life and what have you done that has caused this lack of belief, and then trying to basically hijack that system. I know for me, a lot of my belief came from when I started competing in bodybuilding and muscle model and fitness model and that whole side of my life, because it was something that was so foreign to me and something that I never honestly believed I could do. And even when I competed and I went and I got a pro card, which meant you could compete for money, I went to Las Vegas Worlds and I finished 8th in the world in the Las Vegas pay-per-view. these things that once seemed like unachievable goals to me, when I actually did them and achieved them, gave me incredible confidence and a reference point to go on and build my business. And I've spoken before about competing in the other things in my life and how I moved in a different direction with Holly was born, but I wouldn't take back the confidence that it gave me. And it was, this goes from anybody that sets a goal and strives for it and then achieves it, because it's not whatever the goal is. It doesn't matter what that is for you, what that looks like. It's the thought that I said I was going to do something that I didn't really believe I could achieve, and then when you go and achieve it, it builds confidence in all areas of your life. So what I would suggest and what I would advise you do is obviously pick up those books, have a read through Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within, have a read through Jack Canfield's Success Principles, and then set yourself, you know, Jack Canfield talks about big, hairy, audacious goals. He's like, set a big goal and then work towards that. You know, whatever that looks like for you, it might be making your county, you know, your county team or your club team or competing or doing a photo shoot or getting a girlfriend or getting a boyfriend or getting a new job or getting the job you want or whatever it is, set that goal and then strive and work for it. It's the person you become on the journey to achieving that that creates all the positive things and mastery that you have in your life. That would be the advice I would offer. Sometimes it comes down to filling your mind, because thoughts become actions and actions become the life that you create. You gotta nip it, put the right thoughts in your mind, which is what these books will do. And then sometimes you just gotta put the action and principles in place and go and try and achieve whatever it is that that big, hairy, audacious goal looks like for you. And then your life will change as a result from it. Confidence will come. Motivation comes from progress. Progress is addictive. This is one of the things that I find with people I work with, that they want to stay in the programs and stay working with me. And I'm sure it's the same with most trainers that are good at what they do, is progress is addictive. So even though I plan on setting people off on their way in 12 weeks, people want to continue doing things with me because progress is addictive. Motivation comes from progress. So find something that you're progressing with and motivation comes from that. Okay, next question. Thoughts on German volume training. I'm a massive fan of German volume training. That and DTP, which is Dramatic Transformation Principle, which is a high pyramid 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 rep sets. I'm a big fan of both of those systems. German volume, for those that don't know, is 10 sets of 10 reps, you know, with a 60 to 90 second rest. It's a lot of volume. It's 100 reps, you know, spaced out over 10 sets. I love it as a switch up. I think as a base program, it's not that good and your body responds pretty quickly to it. But in terms of if you're following a normal program, switching to German volume for a week or 10 days or 2 weeks and then switching back to another program works incredibly well. And it's a great way of bringing up weaker body parts because it loads it for heavy weight under the hypertrophy volume, which means you're going to tear fibers in that range. And once you're repairing with your nutrition and enough amino acids, you're going to be able to grow a lot of muscle in that rep range. But I do find that you stagnate on it pretty quickly. So people that follow German volume for 6, 12, 18 weeks and don't switch up the exercises they're doing or the angles they're doing, you tend to become very, very stagnant in that program very, very quickly. That's probably the only downside that I see on it. But once you're using it as a tool and using it every 2-3 weeks to switch up, or every 6-7 weeks for 2-3 weeks to switch up your training, I think it works incredibly well. It's personally one of my favorites, but I only use it when I feel I'm stagnating or if the gym is really busy and all I have is a bench and a set of dumbbells or a barbell or whatever it is. You just go in and do 10 sets of 10 on one or two moves and your workout is done. There's no thinking. You don't have to worry about finding new machines or new equipment, and it works really, really well in that sense. So I like to use it as that, as kind of like a backup plan on like busier evenings or busier mornings in the gym as well. Hey Brian, what are your thoughts on the new gyms that have no mirrors? It's funny because I read a quote from Arnold Schwarzenegger before, and he said a mirror to a bodybuilder is like a stopwatch to a marathon or a stopwatch to a sprinter. And it's funny. And I agree with him. I think that when you're training for body composition and when you're training not to get injured, I think it's nearly crucial to have a mirror, because if you can't see your form, you can't see if you're doing things correctly. Now, granted, there's people that will go in and take their selfie, they'll Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook their abs or their glutes, and that's fine. That's what each of they are doing. But in terms of using mirrors as a tool, I think they're incredible for checking your form. Because if you're doing a squat or if you're doing a row or you're doing a movement that requires you to be able to see your form, your barbell curls, it's nearly imperative at the beginning of your training journey to be able to see if you're doing it correctly. You know, for example, in my online program, I've got video links and the picture links of each move that are in the program. So what I advise people to do, and this is in the instructional video, and I talk to people about it in the Q&As in my program, is watch the video of me doing it, have a look at the picture if you need to, and then mimic it and use the mirror to check if you're doing it correctly. That's kind of the base for making sure you don't get injured and making sure you're optimally training the muscle and training the exercise the way you're supposed to do it. I think doing it without a mirror makes it very, very difficult. Like, there's certain movements that you're not going to be able to see. You're not going to see yourself doing a barbell press, you know, those movements that doesn't require a mirror. But I think that using it as a tool is something that anyone can benefit from. And I still use it. I'm training 16 years and I still use the mirror on those movements to make sure my form is perfect, particularly if I'm going heavier and I'm failing at the 8 to 10 rep range and I'm failing towards the end. I need to make sure that my form hasn't completely dropped towards the last couple of reps. And that's what I use a mirror for. So I personally think that they'll probably come back. Unless you're in a class setting, you have somebody mimicking or mirroring the movement you're doing. Like, for example, in my Facebook Lives, I'm doing the movement. It's kind of like joining a class where the trainer or the instructor is doing the movement. Then in that case, they're working as your mirror. But when you're by yourself, I think it's crucial to have a mirror so you can check your form. Okay, last question. Hey, Brian, my son is a really fussy eater and will go the whole day without eating anything good. How can I change his habits? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer it from the perspective of, for anybody that's a fussy eater. So I would apply this to your son and anybody. And if you are personally a fussy eater, if you're listening to this and you're a fussy eater, I would try these principles because they've worked and helped me. There's a great theory in the Awaken the Giant Within book that I mentioned earlier called the Pain and Pleasure Theory. It's an evolutionary base that our brains are designed to work towards things that give us pleasure and we'll move away from things that give us pain. And what happens with people that are either in shape or out of shape, sometimes the only difference is the habits that people have in their life and the way they've linked pain and pleasure. For example, somebody that is very overweight, and I've worked with people in the past and I've changed their psychological mindsets on this, is they will literally come in on the first day or the first day in my program when I'm speaking to them in the group. They'll be like, "Why?" I had a girl recently say, "All the nice foods taste are bad for me, and all the bad foods or all the foods that I don't enjoy are the ones that are good for me." And this is exactly what I offered her in the Q&A video that I did in my online program, was I was like, "You have linked the idea of bad foods to pleasure and you've linked the idea of good foods to pain. If you can flip the switch on that and link pain to the bad foods and link pleasure to your good foods, your entire habitual decisions will change." For example, people that are overweight and obese tend to link things like fast food and chocolate and soda drinks to pleasure, that they enjoy the taste and they enjoy the way they make them feel when they're eating them. And they tend to have a pain to broccoli, chicken without skin, fish, because they think it has no taste or for whatever reason. I'm generalizing, but this is something that from working with a lot of people I've found. For example, then the healthier people that I've worked with, quote unquote healthier, fitter people that I've worked with, people that are in more shape, have done nearly the reverse. I can only speak for myself because I'm my own best example and you're always your own best example. But I have such a horrible feeling of pain linked with fast food that the thought of consuming it nearly makes me sick before I've ever eaten it. Because when I eat fast food, my stomach churns, I get really bad, like wind in my stomach, I get either constipated or diarrhea and I'll feel fucking horrible, and I've linked such a feeling of pain to that food, so now I never want it. On the flip side of that, I've linked an incredible feeling to the energy, the brain clearness that I get from eating foods like porridge, sweet potato, chicken, fish, vegetables, fruits, smoothies. These things make me feel better. They give me more energy, they make my brain clearer, so I've linked pleasure to these things. And now I find it very easy to make those choices. So my habits now reflect the things that I've linked pain and pleasure to. So ask yourself, and then ask your son, Is it that you've linked pain and pleasure to the wrong things? And then what can you do to switch that? That's something that I talk about with people that I work with. My advice for you in particular with your son would be try and find the carrot that is going to make him change his habits. Like, for example, I remember my dad, when I was younger, I was a massive GAA player. I lived and breathed everything to play on county teams, to play on my senior teams, to play on the top team that I could at any given time. And I used to eat terrible food. I used to eat sausage rolls and chips and all these foods. And I remember Dad would speak to me and he's like, well, look, you want to play county, you got to eat what the county boys are eating. He goes, you got to eat your vegetables, you got to eat your meat, you got to eat your potatoes, you got to eat all of these things. And he changed the carrot for me. You know, I went from, oh, well, this is going to make me better at sport, this is going to make me better at football. If I eat these foods, I'm going to be better and my performance is going to be better and I can achieve what I want to achieve. So I literally, and that was nearly an automatic relink of the pain and pleasure, because what I wanted more was to make those teams and make those county panels and make those senior teams or whatever the team was at the time. So I started eating foods that was in congruent with that lifestyle and that way that I wanted to behave and lead my life. So what I would advise you do, and what I would offer you do, is find whatever that carrot is for your son and then try and change his eating patterns around it. If there's a girl that he really likes at school, he didn't say what age he is, but if there's a girl, if he's a teenager, 14, 15, 16, normally your girl, you know, a girl is going to be the trigger of that. You know, you start speaking with him and be like, oh, do you think that, you know, Mary or Sarah or Laura or that girl you like or whatever it is, do you think that's the kind of food she eats, you know, and just let that sit. You know, don't project it on him and go, oh, she's not going to go out with you or she's not going to see you if you eat those foods. But let the idea sit. Go, do you think these are the kind of foods she eats? You know, because that gets him thinking then. And when it's about him, he's going to make the decision himself, because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You need to have it as his own idea, and you need to put that in his head that he's going to make healthier eating choices because it's going to benefit him and he's not doing it because you've told him to. So I hope that makes sense. Okay, so a massive thank you to everybody for listening. Anybody wants to find out more about my Top 50 online program or my Lean Body GAA program, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. You can get more information on there, or you can email me at brian@briankeenfitness.com and you'll get me or my head of operations, Emma. One of the two of us will get back to you with all the information on that. You can also get my blog and my newsletter on my website, or if you want to find me on Snapchat, which is my most active platform at the minute, you can find me on BrianK019. And I'm on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, all Brian Keane Fitness. So a massive thank you to everybody for listening. Catch you guys soon. Hope you got value. Catch you next week.